The biggest stories, the best names, and all the big breaking news. The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon is on right now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Welcome inside the iconic Electric and Controls downtown studio. Happy Thursday. Calgary Flames are back in action on Saturday. We'll have a special focus on them here in the opening segment.
Gilmore has a shot to win it all here. He scores! Gilmore scores!
Was that on purpose? Doug Gilmore? Did that go with the air? Happy to have you guys along with us as, we've got a fun show lined up for you today. And my name is Will Nault. He is Logan Gordon. This show comes at you every single day from the iconic Electric and Controls downtown studio. Currently hiring electricians, instrumentation, and telecommunication technicians, and more. Apply at iconicec.ca/careers. We'll kick off the show like we always do, as I mentioned, with a Flames conversation. And some fun things with this dead schedule that allows us to kind of go on a different path and do some different things with Peter Labardius, who joins us every day to kick off this program for the Gemini Group Home Renovations. And Lou, I guess first off, just the news of yesterday is it was a few hours after we signed off for the day or signed off from you. And we got the revised schedule for the Calgary Flames, and we knew a couple of things going in. A, that it would be busy, and B, that there'd be limited to no travel. And the Calgary Flames post All-Star break, which will begin on February 9th, we'll see 40 games in 81 days, only 14 of those 40 on the road, and only 12 of those 40 outside of their time zone. 0 in the East, 6 in the Pacific, and 6 in the Central time zone. 26 games of 40 on home ice. And I would think, Lou, going again, it's a heavy schedule and it's not ideal for anybody, but best case for the Calgary Flames is all that time they spent early in the season on the road, let's see if it pays off here on the home stretch.
Well, you have no choice, right? Well, Logan, you have no choice. That's what the schedule is. That's what you're faced with. And what you can't do is, you just have to be focused on your game and putting your best game on the ice, regardless of where it is. But yes, would they love to get into a groove at home? For sure. They have no choice. If they want to make the playoffs, they're going to, obviously, thanks Wolf Blitzer, straight from the situation room, they're going to have to be a good home team the rest of the season. And it's not that they've been a bad home team by any stretch. They've been a great road team. And, they're coming off one of their best home performances, I would suggest, of the season. And, Gerald, this week and last week is, really had some pretty outstanding things to say and observations. And, I want all three of us to play off this. He was asked a lot today about the schedule, about being at home, about preparing to play the Oilers. And I loved this answer to kind of sum it all up about what they have to do, what matters, what lies in front of them, whether it's before the All-Star break or after. So let's hear from the head coach now.
Because we're in Canada and it's hockey, and this has got nothing to do because we're playing the Oilers on Saturday. Every time a team loses three or four in a row or wins three or four in a row, it's what's great or what's terrible. So what comes into it is, at the end of it, is the way the schedule's been, and they're in the same position as us. It's been really hard to get any continuity in it. It's like we play, there's a time where you're not even sure you're part of the league, the way the schedule was. Like, freak, it's like, and then, so it's hard getting into any routine or any rhythm. And play. And I know from being a player, you don't like practicing 4 days in a row, or you don't like taking 3 days in a row off. Like, it's the worst thing for you as an athlete. And we've had to do that how many times? And I know that's how it's affected them. They've played, I think we've played the same amount of games. You just look in our division, well, you're playing 600 hockey. You do that over the course of the year, well, you're probably a playoff team. But But right now they're saying, well, they're out of the playoffs, they're in the playoffs. Well, there's at this point of the season, having five or six games difference in games played, I think you have to look more at, and I'm being really honest about it, you have to look more at performance than where you're at, because you want the player, you understand that you want the players to get into a rhythm and to get pissed off when they lose and to feel good about their game when they win and remember it and take it into the next game. When you're a good team, that's what you do. So that's what they're going through right now, and it's probably no different than what we went through. But when I said that the other night, they are one of the favorites. Like, clearly, if you did this division in the summer, I did. I did as a fan before I came here. Best two teams, Vegas and Edmonton. Next team that's coming is Vancouver and LA because of the young guys, right? And if there's anybody that should be higher up, is Vancouver because they have all the young talent. But so the way I looked at it in the summer, and I still look at it, there's you get 1, 2, 3, right? And I think that Vegas and Edmonton were the teams that should be 1 and 2. And then we're all fighting for that third spot. And you start screwing around with wild cards, then you're fooling around with the Central Division. And that's not what you want to do because of the way the games are, disparity in games. So, and I didn't look at it this morning, but I'll bet that's about dead on in terms of you're screwing out that wild card, then either you're in or you're out. And I've said this lots to players, Eric, about, I can explain that to the team because I've been on the wrong side of that. I've been on a team that's 15 games over 500 and missed it by 2 points. So that's because of the wild card. The game, the way the league has changed that, right? You can't, only half the teams make it, but you're only guaranteed 1, 2, 3. After that, you start flipping coins with that wild card stuff.
It's a great clip.
I think guys,
go ahead.
Isn't it dynamite? You know, it really, and I don't know how you guys read it, but I know how I read it. And, you know, we mentioned today right off the top about what can you control? Well, you can control your play, get in a rhythm, be a very consistent group, and take your chances. When you get focused on all kinds of other stuff that's outside of your control, you know, you start playing the comparison game, or, you know, you get down the stretch. Sorry, I'm getting some reverb. I apologize. But, yeah, all Daryl's team and the Flames can do is get in a rhythm, which they'll, listen, not going to be able to watch them practice very much anymore, certainly not after the All-Star break and the first game on the 9th, which, by the way, how about that back-to-back when you take on Vegas and Toronto back-to-back? That'll be a fun way to kind of get rolling right off the hop.
Well, and I thought it was interesting.
That's all you can control.
Yeah, and for me, and we didn't even get into this, Lou, and certainly I think you can tune into a lot of talk shows the last 3 or 4 days, and they would have had plenty of opinion on it. Logan and I did talk about it briefly after playing the clip, but I'm sure everybody listening right now, if you're listening to this show, you're a hockey fan, you're a sports fan, so I'm sure you've seen it. And, you know, again, it's kind of a long way to get to my answer, but I thought it was one of the first things that popped in my mind was the exchange up the road at Edmonton between Leon Draisaitl and Jim Matheson. And do you know why that stuff happens? Because you're practicing for 4 or 5 days in a row. You're answering the same questions after every practice, and you don't have, there's nowhere that the story has been advanced. And when you're losing on top of it, there's going to be frustration that goes along with it. Obviously, there's probably more to that clip, and we don't see that team or around that media and that player group every single day, so it's hard for us to really talk about it. But I know a lot's been made about that relationship between that player and that reporter in the past, and I don't know if it was in the best spot to begin with, but I think that leads to situations where you're boiling over. That was one of the first things Daryl talked about, that, you know, you go back to when he was a player. He hated practicing 4 days in a row. Nobody likes that. You want to play games. It's why you're here. And, you know, it just kind of helps move things along. And even these next couple of days here, there's only so much you can do when you're talking about Edmonton. We're reflecting on that game on Tuesday. So yeah, you can only control what you can control. And the nice thing for Calgary is that they've played so many games on the road. And I said this to Logan yesterday, Lou, and we'll get Logan to jump in this conversation here in a second. But I said this to Logan on yesterday's show, and we talked about the schedule and the release of it. I mean, for me, not only is there limited travel, but there's also the opportunity. You mentioned the back-to-back with Vegas and Toronto. There are four home back-to-backs for this team down the stretch. And that is so different from a back-to-back on the road, because you're in your own bed at 11:30 or midnight. You're not getting off a plane at 2:30 in the morning. And it allows you, if you need to, get treatment after the game, because you're not immediately trying to get to an airplane, and therefore you've got no time for the trainer to work on you or do extra activities in the weight room or whatever the case may be. You might have a 30 to 35 minute drive home as opposed to a 2 or 3 hour flight. So again, you know, you've got to win the games. Nobody's going to hand them to you, but they've been dealt a pretty nice hand here in terms of the way that their schedule is set up and the fact that they have zero games in the Eastern time zone. They've got 6 in the Central, 6 in the Pacific, and 26 of 40 at home. And there's a couple of games in Colorado as well, so you're not changing time zones there. But, yeah, I mean, hey, it sets up nicely, but you still got to win them. And that was the one thing that jumped out to me. It's just, yeah, you're kind of in that weird spot right now where you can't get your game going. And as great as Tuesday was, Lou, one of the greatest challenges is trying to build off of that, because it's, what, 3 or 4 days in the past.
Well, listen, you know, whether you're talking about what's going on up the highway, whether you're talking about, you know, any team in the league, this is always the case. When you're at home in a Canadian market and things aren't going well, and take this for what it is, I've worked in a lot of Canadian markets. I've worked in Edmonton, I've worked in Calgary, I've worked in Toronto, and have been exposed, you know, to what goes on in Montreal, which I don't even think it's close, to be honest, in terms of what's the most difficult media market, because then you're talking about language, as you saw yesterday, you know, with Kent Hughes, and, you know, the Quebec situation is completely unto itself, and anybody that tells you any different doesn't know, and they haven't experienced it. And it's not like I've experienced it on a day-to-day basis myself. But to feed off what you talked about, Logan, is this. Or, sorry, Will. And again, I don't know why I'm getting reverb today, but I'm getting reverb. When you're at home in a Canadian market for long stretches, and either you're not playing or you're not playing well, it's miserable. I mean, we've seen it around here lately. Remember what we saw last year. Like, nobody wants to go to work and you don't feel good. And in sports, unless you're winning, you don't feel good. That's the way it is. And everybody's asking you questions. And guess what? For people like us, that's our jobs. We have to do that. And again, you and I, and I don't know if we're going to go there at some point, but if you don't think I don't have some thoughts about what happened this week, you're kidding yourself. But we're not doing it now, and I'm going to pick a different time. Okay? But you're right.
We'd love to go there, though, yeah. We'll go.
Yeah, we will at some point, because I'm not sure it's always going to be in my best interest to go there. Because I see it from all sides.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, listen, whether you're a coach, whether you're a player, you know, if Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl knew how to fix it, you know what they'd do? They'd fix it. They haven't been able to. And when you're going through a hard time as a team, it's difficult, and it's all you're hearing. And so, you know, moving forward, and listen, these last 2 years for everybody has heightened everyone's frustration meter. I don't think there's anybody probably on planet Earth whose fuse and emotional how they react to things when they're not going very well. I'm going to guess for even the most docile middle of the road person, that's been hard. So the noise around pro sports in this day and age is nothing like I've ever experienced before. And there's part of it that I like, and frankly, there's a lot of it that I don't like. And you talk about things that strike you about a conversation from Daryl. Again, Logan, and how many times have we talked about, you know, we're in the business of kind of breaking things down in 82 one-game segments. But the truth of the matter is, your work is about what you get done in the course of 82. And the challenge, especially, I think, more so in a Canadian market, when you can't really get away from it, and it's very difficult, especially when you're playing at home a lot, is no, you're not the best team in the world probably when you win four in a row, and you're not the worst team in the world when you lose four in a row. The answer generally, like most things, is in the middle. So when you hear coaches talk about your ability to play with consistency, put a good game on the table, and not go up and down like a roller coaster, that's what you're trying to do. That's what the good teams do. And it's not easy to get there. And there's still teams, including the two teams in this province, who have different levels of different types of players and situations and different issues. That's where they're trying to get.
Well, and I thought it was interesting in that clip that you played from Daryl, Lou, and I think he's so right when he says it is, you know, you can't really assess and sit there and look at the standings and say, look, this is where we are. The way the schedule has gone for them, and I know he brings it up in the same context as they are with Edmonton, you really have to live in the here and now of what your team is doing, because the schedule is so unbalanced between all teams in the league right now that sitting there and saying, look, okay, maybe we're not a playoff team at the All-Star break doesn't necessarily apply, because you've got five or six games played difference between the rest of your division, and seeing Daryl's sort of mindset in that change towards, look, I'm just going to evaluate my team as to what I'm seeing them doing and not looking at the big picture, because the big picture is all over the map right now.
It is all over the map, and do any of us know whether it's not still going to continue to be all over the map?
Yeah, nobody knows. I think, yeah,
right?
Nobody knows.
I mean, yeah. if we had the answers to some of those questions, we wouldn't be in the middle of these discussions. So, no, it's been a very different, and when things change, it's always hard, whether it's good or whether it's bad, and it is different. And things in this day and age, in how people are evaluated or criticized or who's doing it, that's different than it used to be, too. And the players who play, in my humble estimation, they're different than they were for me even 10 years ago. So there's a lot of stuff going on in a lot of different ways. And, you know, you win in sports. That part for me has never changed. Are you on the same page as a team? And is it about individual stuff, or is it about being the best team that you can be? Now, you need some great individuals to win in sports. And your best people have to do it the right way. All of it. Not the parts they like. Not the parts that they thrive in. All of it. That's the difference. And that, in this day and age, for me, it's never been more challenging for coaches, GMs. It's hard. And listen, I talk to people at a lot of different levels, whether it's this level, whether it's at the junior level, whether it's even down. These are different times. And finding a way to have a collective group of people on the same page that understand their roles, their capabilities, and all want to pull the rope the same way, it's always been a challenge. I just happen to think it's more challenging now than ever before. But when you find it, it's a special thing.
So I guess it'll be interesting to see, and we'll wait and see because it's, you know, we're not there yet, but I guess we get a more regular scenario for this group starting Saturday and then into Monday, and we'll start to see how this group responds, because I think Will, and you mentioned it a little bit earlier, we talked about this, and Daryl mentioned it again in that great clip he had. It's hard for guys to bring anything game to game when there's 4 or 5 days in between games, and now we've gone, what, 2 or 3 weeks of doing this again with just the occasional game, and now they'll jump right back into what is a more regular schedule before the All-Star break, and, you know, Sunday or Saturday against Edmonton, and suddenly Monday against St. Louis, and you're back into the thick of things. It's not like you have time to wait, Lou. These are games you need to start winning and start playing, you know, your best at right away. There's no more 3-day breaks coming. This was your, you know, your time to get it ready and going. You had a good example, but again, it's been 4 days, so it's not like you can bring a lot from that into Saturday.
I think one of the most overrated things is taking things, Logan, from one game to another. I really do. And I have for a long time. Yes, there is momentum. Yes, as we just saw with a team, you know, that the Flames finally put their ridiculous gas-burning fire out for a minute or two, the Florida Panthers, yes, confidence is high and teams get on a roll. I'm not denying that. But every single night in sports really is unto itself. And it boils down in so many cases to how, you know, you deal with your opponent. But more importantly, can you as a group impose your will more often through the course of 60 minutes than the other way around? And because of whether it's schedule or the type of team you're playing or the type of personnel, you know, you guys may see it very different. I do believe in momentum. But I don't think it's quite as big a deal as maybe some other people do, because I think every night is such a challenge, both internally and externally, and how you prepare and how you build your lineup. It's not always the same. You'd love it to be the same, but guess what? The guys across the street, they have a say in it too, right?
It's exactly like I'm with you 100%. And people talk about momentum game to game all the time. The greatest example I can always give people, Lou, and it is hard to compare sport to sport. I get that. But all you got to do when you look at how teams carry something over game to game, you know, baseball is the best example. You could beat somebody, you could beat the tar out of somebody 11-1 one game, and then the next game it's 6-5 or 16-2 the other way. And again, I know that's a unique sport in the way that, you know, you might have a different starting pitcher, and, you know, there's similarities and differences for sure. But I always look at that and I say that is the greatest teller of the fact that you can't necessarily take everything from one game and apply it to the next. And, you know, the Stanley Cup playoffs are another great example. I think, you know, you see some of the best teams that can take certain things from their game to game, but you know, it's why people talk about the fourth one being the hardest one to win, because it's just you can't necessarily take all that momentum and, you know, use it completely the other way. So I'm with you 100%. And we've gone a little bit long, but I just wanted to touch on this one quickly, Lou. Tomorrow we'll preview the Oilers and the Flames, of course. But you've been wanting to get to this topic for a little while here. So I just thought it'd be a nice place to end today. Doesn't really go with the theme of the conversation, but nonetheless, as this team looks to set themselves up for the final stretch and potentially into the playoffs, a lot of people in this market and about this team have been talking about a depth forward or adding more forwards to this group, and you might not be on the same page, Luke.
Well, you know, you'd probably like to certainly add center ice depth if you could, and you'd But if let's say I have to pick, so, you know, the name Tomas Hertl has come up. So let's just compare two guys. And I'm not saying the Flames are going to, you know, be in or have an opportunity. Frankly, with the Evander Kane scenario, maybe Tomas Hertl doesn't go anywhere. And that money gets applied to a new deal for him to stay in San Jose.
But with the makeup of this team and a lot of teams that the Calgary Flames have to deal with, I would be far more prone to look at a guy like Surratt if you have the assets than I might even for a guy like Tomas Hertl. I'd like both. But if you said I can only have one, I'm going to take the defenseman. And I'm going to add another left-handed defenseman who probably would move immediately into your top four if he finds some synergy. And I just think that part of your game is so important for this team and what it wants to, that I would lean there before I lean the other way. And when you look at Brad and how Brad goes about his business, you know, the Chychrun situation is fascinating to me for a lot of different reasons. You know, he's 23 years old. You know, I know they're torching a lot of stuff in Arizona. I don't quite understand why you wouldn't do everything in your power to maybe, you know, keep him long term. But when you look at the term that's on his deal and the other defenseman that you have in Calgary in your window, which I think is still, you know, especially with the terrific emergence of number 58, Oliver Shillington, you know, if I was going to, like, really dig into my assets or go in that direction because of the term, you know, maybe you go there. But again, what people, you know, we all love our teams and we all have wish lists, right? But you have to remember, you have to have assets and things that other people want. You don't get people for free. And you don't get those kind of people for free.
No, you don't. And you've always, the old saying, and you always talk about cliches are cliches for a reason, usually because they're true. You've got to give to get, and that's usually, you know, a big price or a bigger price, especially if you're, you know, one, two, three, four teams involved in the race for one asset or one player going forward. Lou, just quickly before we go, a quick tease on tomorrow's What Does Lou Say?
Yeah, two quick teases. Was over at the Wolf Cadillac Buick GMC dealership. Good old Vince looked after me. Jared over in service. You know, every once in a while, a guy needs an oil change. So, and we'll give away a great prize tomorrow, thanks to Tim Collins and Brent Stone and the fabulous people over Roos Chris with another question, which only, you know, will net you a $200 gift certificate at that fine establishment and two lower bowl tickets to Flames games. And if you look at the schedule upcoming, well, there's some pretty delectable visiting team treats, let's say, on the way for Flames fans.
Your opportunity is every single Friday. Of course, we'll take your questions any day of the week, and we'll pick one for Friday's show. If your question is read on the air, you will, yes, be off to an upcoming Flames game and have a nice pregame meal at Ruth Chris Steakhouse. Lou, thank you as always, pal. Enjoy your Thursday. We'll talk tomorrow.
It's beautiful out. It's a great day. Have a good one, fellas.
Sure,
bye-bye.
Sure is. Nice and sloppy. Yeah. Peter Labardius joins us every day for the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group now offering air miles, reward miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. We'll take a break, come back with some of the news items of the day as it's Thursday and we're getting closer and closer to the divisional round playoffs in the NFL. Some thoughts on that as well as we continue on hour one of The Big Show, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
You're listening to The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
So many ways to listen to the program. AM on your 960. First day speaking. 960 on your AM radio. You can stream us online at sportsnet.ca/960. You can also tell your smart speaker to play Sportsnet 960. And our podcasts are available wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple, Google, and Amazon. Subscribe now and never miss a moment. The hours are posted shortly after we are done with them, so you can listen to them on demand wherever you'd like. And whenever you'd like, at your leisure. My name is Will Nault. He is Logan Gordon. We're inside the iconic Electric End Controls downtown and home studio today. So the Flames not playing until Saturday. We were talking about it yesterday when the schedule got released, Logan. And now, as we've seen the math done, and I had mentioned it when the Wild was released. Mike Russo of the Athletic in Minnesota had the stat with, how many games they're playing in a short amount of time to finish off their season. And I said to you, we're going to start to get some math from a lot of these teams, and most notably the ones that have had the most cancellations, about, how many games they're playing here in short succession, how many rest days. Minnesota is playing 40 games in their final 77 days. The Golden Knights, for example, they are one of the teams who's been able to play more games than anybody else in the league. They're going to play 36 games over their final 86 days of the season. So when you think about that from Vegas, Calgary's situation isn't too bad. I think the players will like the rhythm. I mentioned the home back-to-backs yesterday. I think those are night and day better than a road back-to-back. You can get treatment after the game if you need to. You're not rushing to a plane. You're not getting on a plane, getting off a plane, getting on a bus, getting off the bus, checking into a hotel, and then maybe, getting in your bed by about 2:30 or 3 o'clock. The Flames are going to play 40 games in their final 81 days, and the best part about that for them is 26 of those 40 at home, 6 in the Central time zone, 6 in the Pacific time zone, and 4 home back-to-backs, including right when they get started on February 9th and 10th against Vegas and Toronto. So you've seen some numbers. I'm sure you've done some sifting from last night, Logan. Calgary's obviously, we've talked a lot about the home and road split, but what sticks out to you when you look at the way Calgary's going to finish off the season? I saw you on Twitter yesterday putting out the calendar view, and we had talked about that when the schedule was released. You kind of get a good idea when you can put it in a calendar and see how that all shapes up. What's your biggest takeaway or some of the things that come to mind for you when you look at the Flames post All-Star break beginning on February 9th?
Honestly, my biggest takeaway, Will, and I don't know if you agree or not, was even the math as you say it, sounds a lot more compact than it actually looks to me on a calendar. I'm surprised at how many actual breaks they have in all this. It's not nearly as compact a schedule as I anticipated it was going to be. Even starting in February, with that All-Star break, we've heard teams are going to be back in action that Monday following the All-Star break in Vegas. Well, that's not the case for Calgary. After they play in Arizona on the Wednesday, the 2nd of February, they get a 6-day break for the All-Star game before two straight, one of the first of those home back-to-backs in Calgary as part of that 7-game homestand that they have over the former Olympic break now. Like, February schedule with home back-to-backs certainly isn't unmanageable. There's a number of 2-day breaks in there. Yes, is it pretty busy during the month of March? You're right, but those back-to-back home games certainly don't hit nearly as hard as travel ones do, and they have very few travel ones. Even the ones in March, you're going, you've got a home game Saturday against Detroit in March. You'll go to Colorado for a Sunday game. That's not great, but it's manageable. The next weekend, you'll be at home on Friday. You'll be in Vancouver Saturday. That's a province over, quick flight to Vancouver the next day. So my overall thought really seeing this is I think the Flames come out pretty okay, all things considered, how many games they've had to reschedule and move around. I thought it was going to be a lot tighter than it is.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I went and did the math today on those, final 81 days of the schedule. I certainly thought it was going to be a little bit more condensed. I think, the Flames certainly benefit from, and we talked about this when the schedule got released, they benefit from not having a lot of dates anyways in their building in that Olympic break in February. So it seemed like it was kind of easy for the league to, you know, plunk a whole big chunk of games in that two and a half week stretch. So that's certainly beneficial. And yeah, I don't think it's as bad as maybe we had feared going in. And I think the best part is we knew about the home road split, maybe didn't know how big of a, you know, impact that might have on the schedule. And again, I mean, the biggest thing here is, as we talked about a bit with Lou, Logo, I mean, you can tell me all you want about how many games are at home and how the travel is somewhat limited. That's great. But, you know, the players have got to be approaching it like that doesn't matter. And, you know, certainly they're in a spot where they're going to have to go on a pretty good run here, you know, to secure a playoff spot. And I think they've benefited. It's funny, too, of all the conversations we had early in the season. Hey, maybe the Pacific isn't as bad as we thought. Well, no, the Pacific still isn't great as you compare it to the other three divisions. It very clearly is the third best or fourth best division, sorry. And we knew as much going into the season. I mean, for example, Vegas, who is on top of the Pacific Division, sits 11th overall in the NHL. So yeah, I think, you know, those conversations about the Pacific Division have kind of died down. Vegas and Calgary, even in points percentage, which is tied for 11th overall in the NHL. So I think they definitely benefit from that. But again, long way of saying that they still have to win these games. As much as the schedule is in their benefit and certainly a good one for them, sets up nicely. You still got to go out and win those games, and it's not going to be easy. And no one's going to hand you those victories. So you know, Tuesday is a nice step in the right direction. But here we are, another break until they play, which is Saturday against Edmonton.
Yeah, and it's just hopefully the last of these long extended ones where you can't really take anything from the game previous, because that's sort of how I've sat at it, and that's kind of how I'll approach it. Is, did the Flames do some good things against Florida the other day? Yeah, but that's, you know, 4 days away, how many practices away? Edmonton will have a game in between there. It's so hard for me to, even sitting here watching the games, Will, like we do, and analyzing and all that sort of stuff, I just can't imagine that too much of that emotion from a player's standpoint, even from a coach's standpoint, really rolls over this many days in between games. I think Daryl, you know, said as much in that clip with Lou earlier. You know, it's hard to be pissed off after a loss 4 days later or carry momentum from a win when it's a 3 or 4 day break before you go again. So Edmonton will kind of be the break in that, in their Flames schedule. We'll finally get away from that for a bit, fingers crossed, and we'll start to get into a consistent mode of it. But the fact of the matter is, you're right, is the Flames schedule, you know, quirks behind them. Hopefully now the focus will be clearly just on winning games and results, and we won't be talking about, oh, well, they've been on the road for 20 games, or, oh, well, they've played 3 games in 3 weeks. It'll be on what happened and what's happening the next night. Results are going to be what starts to matter.
By the way, for those wondering too, what's going to help, I think, with this schedule going down the stretch, and I know there's many that have probably a wide variety of opinions on the decision, but, you know, we talked about it briefly when it was announced earlier this week. The NHL and the NHLPA coming to an agreement on the testing changes, and post All-Star break, the league will no longer test asymptomatic players. And, you know, obviously the goal there is to limit postponements and cancellations of games. And by doing that and not testing asymptomatic players, there's a very good chance that we will see, I don't want to say zero, because I think it's silly to say that in this day and age and kind of where things are at, but certainly minimal cancellations when it comes to COVID-19 outbreaks and players being placed in and out of COVID-19 protocol. We've mentioned it a handful of times, and one final mention of it, they'll play the Oilers on Saturday in Edmonton. They're back at home Monday against St. Louis, and then on the road for two, Wednesday, Thursday, in Columbus and St. Louis, respectively. Next Saturday at home to the Vancouver Canucks, and then they've got two more games after that before the All-Star break, February 1st and February 2nd in Dallas and in Arizona. So there's one of those road back-to-backs, but Dallas to Arizona isn't too bad when you're talking about travel and how long that flight is and when you might get in and get checked in to your hotel. He is Logan Gordon. My name is Will Nault. This show comes at you every single day, live from the Iconic Electric and Controls downtown studio. A reminder, we had Peter Labardius join us off the top. He does so every single day for the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group, now offering air miles, reward miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. Although you have some of this in headlines tonight or coming up in the next hour, Logan, but on the NHL ice tonight, just a quick thought, the Florida Panthers in Edmonton to take on the Oilers. And if I was a Flames fan, you know, you certainly would want to be dialed into this game to check out your next opponent. It's been a while since the Flames have seen the Oilers. There's been a lot made of what's happened in Edmonton. Your thoughts on the Panthers and Oilers up the road tonight, beginning at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet.
I'm really interested in seeing how the Oilers come out for this one, Will. I think that that's, to me, the biggest indication of where this whole situation in Edmonton is going to go. You've got a Panthers team that's been pretty average on the road, but should have, you know, every bit of motivation following a bad loss to the Flames the other night. They'll go back to Sergei Bobrovsky, their number one goaltender. The Oilers need to come out with some passion or some fire or, you know, look, be a little bit pissy on the ice, if you will. You know, that's the sort of mentality that that group, I think, needs to get out of this sort of slump. And I'm curious to see if they have it in them right now. Are they a group that I don't want to say is waiting for something to happen before they snap out of it? But I wonder how far we are from that actually being the case. Well, you remember early on with Vancouver when we were just waiting for Travis Green to be fired?
And, yep.
It was just
certainly
like,
feels similar, doesn't it?
It kind of does to me, and I don't know that that's fair to the situation in Edmonton because I think the expectations are dramatically different between the two sides. But if the Oilers come out flat tonight and don't really have that spark or that fire to get this stupid streak over with, and you know enough media questions and all of that as to why things have gone wrong, then maybe I'm resigned to the fact that this group is sitting there saying, "Look, something's got to change before we're getting out of this because right now we just don't feel we have the group or the coach or whoever to get us out of it because it's been a long, you know, 2 months now here in Edmonton and it's not an easy opponent. It's not going to be handed to you to get out of this. Nobody's going to show up against McDavid and Draisaitl without, you know, expectations of a hard game. But, man, if you're Edmonton and you come out with anything but a premium effort, Will, the questions are only going to get louder heading into Saturday's game against the Flames.
2-9-2 in their last 13 games. They've lost three in a row in regulation, and the Calgary Flames snapping Florida's 9-game point streak on Tuesday. They're not going to be dealing with a very happy opponent either tonight, so it's a tough task for the Oilers this evening. And we'll see. If another loss, you do wonder how loud it gets when it comes to whether it be a coaching change, whether it be a roster change. It does surprise me that we are here, and this is a team that really hasn't done anything when it comes to changes, and you're kind of watching the season slip away in front of your own eyes. And again, the benefit for the Oilers, kind of similar to Calgary, in terms of the fact that they have not played as many games as the teams they're chasing. So they've got some ground to make up. They're still in a decent spot when it comes to points percentage in the Pacific Division, but LA's streak hasn't helped them. I know the LA Kings have lost their last two games, but yeah, the Oilers have got to turn this thing around and do it rather quickly. Otherwise, they are in danger of missing the playoffs. And I was right with Daryl Sutter. We played the clip last segment. I had the Edmonton Oilers and the Vegas Golden Knights 1-2 in the Pacific Division before the season started. I think we all agreed that Vegas was probably the best team in the division, and I had Edmonton at number two just based on, you know, their two dynamic, top-of-the-world type forwards, and I didn't think we'd be seeing a season where they had goaltending this bad. Do I think it's, you know, one of the NHL's top 10? No, but I also didn't think that we'd be seeing replacement level or lower goaltending when it comes to the Edmonton Oilers. And I know that's been the whole joke. It's, you know, what else did you expect Draisaitl to say? He wasn't going to throw his goaltender on under the bus. Of course, we know why we're losing. It's, you know, we're not getting saves at key moments. So Looking forward to that game tonight. It's the Oilers and the Panthers at 7 p.m. And you can watch that one coast to coast on Sportsnet, as a lot of eyes will be on that game. And as I say, if they do find a way to lose that contest, I do think the conversation gets even louder when it comes to the future of Dave Tippett and potentially some of the players on that team. How much longer does Ken Holland wait to go and get a goaltender from the outside of the organization? He is Logan Gordon. My name is Will Nault, live in the Iconic Electric and Controls downtown and home studio, where they treat every employee like family, an Iconic family. Apply to join the team today at iconicec.ca/careers. We'll take a break and come back, and I promised you a look ahead at the divisional weekend in the NFL. We'll do that when we come back, as there's four unbelievable football games on the schedule Saturday and Sunday. Can't wait for it, and we'll talk about those games and more when we come back. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.